Mike Mularkey, Titans coach, which is sort of both funny and not funny.
Mularkey?
Yeah, explained their interest level in Colin Kaepernick because, of course, Marcus Mariota injures his hamstring. You would think if there was going to be a place for Colin Kaepernick, it would be in a place where there's a mobile quarterback. I mean, it seems like every single week Marcus Mariota is running for a touchdown. Yep. But instead, they've got Matt Castle there, who is this statuesque bum, as their backup, and then they just brought in Brandon Whedon, who looks like me, basically, right now. I mean, he looks really out of shape. You see him in these pictures? He looks really out of shape.
Those are old pictures, man.
No. Him and Titan stuff.
Those were Photoshop, man.
Oof. So anyway, this is Mike Mularkey talking about if they had any interest in Colin Kaepernick.
I'm not aware if there was, no. But I know he has no, it's not familiar with our offense. I know TJ Yates had some experience with it in Atlanta and with us for a couple of weeks, and that was about it.
Come on, Mike.
He doesn't have experience with our offense, and Matt McGloin does.
Yeah.
Matt Barkley does. All these other guys you brought in are considered. They
right.
do.
Like,
really?
Like you do, Mike, but you're not going to play quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what I don't understand. Is bringing, yeah. You tell me he's that. So you're telling me Colin Kaepernick is that football dumb
yeah.
in your mind that
yeah.
you can't bring in this yeah. guy and have him learn an offense.
Right.
And also, there's a couple of times where I've seen Marcus Mariota like not really pay attention to the offense and then just go and run,
huh.
which is what Colin Kaepernick would
who
do.
Who can improvise like that? Let me see.
T.J. Yates.
Matt McGloin.
Brandon Whedon.
Matt Barkley.
I mean, it's comical now, isn't it? It's gotten to the point where it's comical.
They've run out of excuses.
T.J.
They can't.
Yates.
Yeah, he's familiar with our offense.
Gosh.
Brandon Whedon's familiar with our offense. Really? Come on, man. And Rishard Matthews plays for the Titans, a wide receiver who lost a brother. He lost a sibling in Afghanistan, and his father was in the Marines for a long, long time, and he's one of the athletes that continues to kneel and says he would continue to kneel until the Grand Bertha apologizes for his comments a couple Fridays ago. And he played with Colin Kaepernick at Nevada and says he talked to him about a week ago and the guy's in great shape, ready to go. But, yeah, you're right, Coach Mularkey. He may not pick up our offense. Okay.
Yeah. When you say stuff like that, does Mike Mularkey understand that how he comes across?
It's not his call. It is not his call. This is coming from the front office. It is not his call. And we know that. His hands are tied. The front office will not allow.
But just stop with, I wasn't aware of any interest in him. No.
Yeah.
Just stop there,
yeah.
as opposed to the T.J. Yates knows our offense. T.J. Yates.
Everyone has been served notice. No way in hell you're going to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Christian,
he's the martyr of the NFL.
Right. Christian Ponder's a guy that I don't have a lot of love for.
what you got against Christian, man?
Well, he was just another one of those guys that the Vikings drafted who was supposed to be the next great quarterback and just stunk.
Went way ahead of what a lot of us thought he should have gone
right.
as far as being a first-round pick.
But I have to give him a ton of credit here.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. So he was speaking at the Liberty University convocation.
Mm-hmm.
And Liberty isn't that the Falwell
yeah.
place?
Yeah, that's their
right.
joint.
The Jerry Falwell
yeah.
place. So he was speaking there. And he said this.
With my faith going to the NFL, I honestly, I would think, hey, if I pray, if I get in the Bible, then I'm going to play well on Sunday. That was kind of like my faith. Like, I was using God for myself. Like, God, that's how he works. And what I realized was my faith was so up and down with how I played. Because when I played well, I was like, hey, God's awesome. If I didn't play well, it was almost like I blamed him for not playing well. And obviously, that's not how that relationship works at all.
Finally, someone blamed God for stinking in sports. I've been waiting for this my entire life. Where's the person? Because every time you see a team win, thanks to God, calm my nerve. You never heard anybody say in a post-game news conference when they lost, damn, God didn't like me enough to have me play well.
Yep.
God liked the other guy more than me.
There you go.
And this guy, I can't believe that I am praying
God
to him.
God plays favorites.
Right. And nobody's ever said until now.
Yep.
Christian Ponder finally admitted that he used to, when he stunk with the Vikings, would say, damn, God, why'd you make me play like crap?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, your fault.
Oh, thank you, Christian Ponder.
Yes.
Now,
our new favorite.
He says he doesn't do that anymore.
Doesn't
blame God for bad things.
Oh.
But he did once, and he admitted that he did. That's all I need.
Too late. Can't take it back.
I mean, I've seen a couple comedians do this bit, but you know, when someone, like let's say Luis Severino leaves the mound after that performance in that first inning the other night, and then like points down as opposed to up, you know, like that's what I want to see. You know, like, damn, devil, you son of a bitch. You know, you got, guy walks off the mound, you know, like Pedro Martinez pointing up and there's Severino pointing down. Man, you got me this time. At least Ponder was consistent in this one, you know?
That would be funny.
So a viral video that went around on Sunday was of Jay Cutler. Now, the Dolphins and the Saints, they played his game in London, which I still stand by is the worst half of football I've ever watched in my life at the NFL level. And if it's not, if I'm forgetting something, okay. But in my memory, this is the worst half of football I've ever seen played. So during this half, Jay Cutler is doing his role in a wildcat formation where he's out, split out as a wide receiver, and he's hanging out.
Yeah.
He's lamping.
He's just chilling. Yeah, he's lamping.
He's lamping out there. You know, he's loitering. He's got his hands on his hips, and he doesn't move. So Jay Cutler was asked about this naturally, and this was his response to it.
I created quite a buzz, but that's what they told me to do. Sit there, don't get hit, don't touch anybody, don't move. And I feel like I executed that one.
Hey, these same reporters who were probably crushing him nonstop for that, just, you know, as soon as he explains himself.
Well, yeah, don't get into the action, don't get hurt, don't touch anyone, but you can fool them somewhat, get in a stance, and act like you're going to do something.
It looked like you care.
Yeah.
Adam Gase defended Jay Cutler's laziness.
Yeah, as soon as he steps forward, they can knock the... I won't say it, but they can hit him. If he steps back or doesn't move, now you're looking at different kind of penalties. Until you go through it where a quarterback steps off the ball and starts working downfield, and then you watch one of them get blasted. You know, I got a little experience, so I kind of know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. So getting defensive. How about not having him out there at all then? Well, if you're so concerned about him getting hurt, I mean, do you really need to? What the hell is the point? What's the point of this damn formation? He's just going to stand there with his hands on his hips.
Well, and Adam Gase said if he steps forward. You're right, if he steps forward. But they could have hit him. They can come across the line of scrimmage and hit him.
Right.
So what? That point makes no sense. Like, and just... How about just get in the stance with your arms dangling and act like you're going to run a route? You don't have to run the route because you may pull a muscle, but pretend like you are. That's it.
Yeah, just act like you're doing something. Sort of like I compared it to when an outfielder doesn't run back at all on a home run that is clearly a home run.
Yeah.
Where you just stand there and you look as it goes over
and
your
then
head.
Your pitcher is upset with you because you made him look bad. How did you make him look bad? You threw the ball, pitcher. I mean, come on.
They don't like that.
I know. They hate that.
They want to see you move a little bit. You know what I really am upset about is that Jay Cutler didn't get an opportunity to broadcast for Fox. Because after seeing Tony Romo's excitement, I think that Jay Cutler's indifference would match Tony Romo's excitement. Like, wow.
Totally the antithesis of what Romo is.
Got a third down here, man. And like, dude, anything could happen. Seriously. Like, they could get the first down, or, like, they could not. Like, they'll probably, like, punt, I guess. Like, what's the yard line? Where can I see that? Yeah, they'll probably punt, right? They're probably going to punt. Oh, there it is. Yeah, they're going to punt. Told you. I'm just like Romo, man. Told you I was going to have a fourth down. They're going to punt.
That would be so great if he did that.
Jay, what'd you see on that play? I didn't see that play. I was not paying attention. So if there's a replay, that'd be cool. Do we have a replay? We do replays here or what?
Wouldn't that be just absolute?
That would be great.
Like they do the shot from the booth. He's just in a t-shirt. He doesn't dress up at all.
Sandals, just chilling.
He's got a grill next to him.
I didn't see it because I was checking on my burgers over here, dude.
Like, who wants cheese? Anybody? Yeah. So
camera four, you want cheese?
Oh, you know he'd be terrible at that.
That'd be so funny. I think that sounds like a movie skit, man. We got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been denied that whole thing. Hopefully, he comes back to the booth after this whole experience is over, and he totally sucks. Because that's we get Romo again tonight, primetime Romo.
He gets an hour of him. Yeah.
Well, I told you to watch both. Stop it.
I watch both.
I don't know why you have to even say that. All Yankees. All right. Sorry, I won't watch.
Tell me how the football game.
Well, that's what I'll do. How about this? We'll make a deal. You watch all of the baseball game.
Okay.
And I'll watch all the football game.
Boom.
And then we won't watch each other's thing, and we'll just tell each other about what happened.
Yeah, right.
No, I can't do that.
Why not?
Well, because I got to be watching both at the same time. That's what you do. Come on. Got to get it together. Terrell Pryor, who he's not had a great season, even though he caught a touchdown pass on Monday night. He has not had a great season whatsoever. He's a guy I really thought was going to bust out there with Washington this year after the year he put together last year with the Cleveland Browns. So there was a heckler situation, and there was a video that was put out, and someone was calling him names, and then you could hear on the video, like, Ohio State sucks, and you could hear other stuff on the video. But then Terrell Pryor said that the reason that he responded so vehemently to the heckler on his Instagram, he said, being called an N-word several times to the point where an NFL employee had to step to me and stand by me the whole game from the second quarter on is the exact reason why guys are kneeling during the anthem. I choose not to kneel because as a team we decided to be one and stand. But as I walked in the tunnel, hearing someone call me N-word and say blank you to me flicking off the person, that's right, I should have mentioned that. They have him on camera giving the finger.
Right.
Me flicking off the person is more deserving. I do apologize to my teammates and the organization, but at some point you keep calling us the N-word, we're going to start acting up. Hashtag straight like that.
Straight like that. It's interesting. Those who would deride the athletes who are kneeling, because of injustice out in the real world, are hurling racial epithets at those athletes. Square that one for me. Okay, I'm sitting here telling you I'm not getting a fair shake because of the color of my skin, and yet you think it's cool to hurl racial stereotypes and other things at me. You're proving my point, you idiot. And this proves another point. These guys aren't seen as, they're not looked upon as humans. They're not looked upon as anything other than something in which to entertain you with. You're an object. That's all you are. You're here to entertain me. You sit down, shut up, be quiet, and entertain me. That's it. And outside of these lines, these boundaries on the football field, I don't have anything else to do with you. And here's how I really truly feel about you. That's what the guys are protesting right there. And yet these idiots who are saying that this is wrong, and you don't love America, and you should leave America, and your protest has no validity. Bull. These folks who are yelling these vile comments at these players, they're proving the validity of their stance right there. And it's just stupid. And I'm glad he did what he did. And he's right. It's going to get even worse. Keep yelling those type of things and see what you get. And there was a great tweet yesterday, man. I think it was Jeffrey Wright, the actor Jeffrey Wright. He's talking about how you got people defending the gun culture and amassing all these weapons so they can ward off the government if they come after them. So you can do all that and go and stockpile ammunition and all this stuff because you're afraid of the government, but yet someone kneels and protests because their interaction with said government, they're wrong. I mean, that's the duality of the world we live in, and there's always been a double standard. And so it's just ironic that you'd have someone yelling at Terrell Pryor and others and calling them those nasty names, and yet that's exactly what they're protesting. Makes no sense.
Have fun with that transition.
Yes. Here's the truth. I was just dropping some truth on you. Many of you have simply had it. You've struggled with pain long enough, and you want what I wanted, a 100% drug-free answer to your pain. For my answer to pain after a professional career in football, yes, of course, I'm talking about Relief Factor. But the really big news is that anybody struggling with pain can lower or even eliminate their pain with this wonderful product. My problem was pain throughout my body. Neck hurt, back hurt, knees hurt, all that good stuff. Started using Relief Factor over 2 months ago and immediately saw a difference in my pain. It was gone. That's right, it was gone. Maybe you'd like to play golf or tennis again without pain, or take those nice long walks again, or how about sleeping through the night again without pain? Neck, back, shoulder, hip, knee pain can simply be awful. Here's what I suggest. Go to relieffactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value. That's right, they're going to give you a super value at just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you like it did me. Relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
You're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Got Jim Bowden coming on. Are we calling him?
Yeah, I'm calling him, and he texts me back. He will answer.
All right. No, I just want to make sure, because
did Ninkovich text you back?
Sneak in this call or not? Bubba's in California on
Bubba.
CBS Sports
Bubba
Radio.
Bubba calls us a lot.
What's up, Bubba? Bubba?
Good morning, guys. I love you guys. You know that.
Love you back, dog.
All right, Jonesy. Hey, you're supposed to be on our KMBR. We've been looking for you for a couple of days in Sacramento. What's up?
Oh, I was?
Yeah, they've been broadcasting. You're supposed to come on the show.
Oh, my bad. I did a tour yesterday with CBS PR from over on the television side. Maybe they screwed that up.
Yeah, Carmichael, Dave, and Katie.
Oh, yeah, I like Katie.
And they love you, man, and they disappointed you this show.
My bad. That wasn't on me. That was on CBS PR on the television side. Tell them to get it.
And I know, but Jolie's not like that, and they've been clowning you for 2 days, man.
Oh, really?
They clowned me?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dang.
They're going to bust your chops when they hear from you.
Oh, I don't think they're going to hear from them.
That's so wrong.
Okay, guys, I love you.
All right, hey, Bubba. Love is mutual.
Love you too, Bubba.
All right. Carmichael, Dave, and Katie.
Yeah.
They're upset. Well, why'd you screw this up?
I didn't do that. I called, or they set up the calls, and they called them and piped me in.
It said 2 days in a row.
Damn.
So 2 days in a row, they messed this up.
They screwed that up 2 days in a row.
So it's not your fault, you're saying?
No way. I had no control of this.
Okay.
Sorry, Carmichael, Dave, and Katie.
We were on their show, too.
I know. Love their show.
In person,
we were there. They're great.
Yeah.
Except for the one, I can't remember if it was Carmichael or Dave, that someone was talking to him and a little spittle came from the other person's mouth to his lip.
He
left it there. No, they shared that conversation with me.
I don't remember that. That's disgusting.
No, they shared it with me. They were asking me, what would you do in that situation?
Oh, no, you got to wipe it off.
Thank you. And one, whoever it was embarrassed to wipe it off. That's gross, isn't it? Like, dude, you just sprayed on me. That's gross. I think this interview is over. Bye. Yeah,
seriously.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Ugh.
Well, you got to make this right.
I'm going to.
Let's call him right now. We'll do the interview right now.
Yes. Call him, Mikey B.
We can do it at 8:40.
All right, we're going to call him.
Hold the last segment of the show will be Brian doing an interview on that radio station. How about that? Good?
Yes.
I can lay out for a little bit.
Yeah, you need to rest. You had a tough week. You got to get ready for your
Andrew Bojic.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Hey, Andrew.
Epic beard, epic hit from Diamondbacks reliever Archie Bradley.
Doesn't he look like Conor McGregor?
Archie Bradley?
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's a little McGregor.
We don't all look the same, man.
You should. Well, hey, it's becoming increasingly difficult to distinguish one from the other.
Oh, I'm just saying, yes.
Yeah, so.
Go get him, Connor. Highly offended by that.
You shouldn't be. I dealt with it for years. We got over it.
Sure.
Connor.
So Archie,
how'd that work out for you, Connor?
The reliever had a 2-run triple in the 7th inning of the NL wildcard game, but why was he hitting in the first place, manager Torey Lavullo?
I didn't have a double switch available, and I knew I wanted to throw more than one inning, so it was the easiest solution. And he prepped for that moment, and it was a highlight of the night, no doubt about it.
Lavullo on Fox Sports Arizona after his team finally knocked out the Rockies 11-8. Bradley allowed 2 solo homers in the next half inning, so the Diamondbacks needed a 2-run triple from A.J. Pollock in the bottom half. In all, They hit four triples, the most in a playoff game since the 1903 Boston Americans, the precursors to the Red Sox. So now Arizona moves on to an NLDS game one at Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. The Red Sox and Astros begin their ALDS in Houston at 4:08 Eastern this afternoon. Justin Verlander, Chris Sale on the mound. It's Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer as the Yankees and Indians play their game one in Cleveland at 7:30. Week five in the NFL begins with the Buccaneers hosting the Patriots on Thursday Night Football, 8 Eastern on CBS. Rob Gronkowski, a surprise addition to the New England injury report yesterday, questionable with a thigh injury, but is expected to play. The Minnesota Lynx are WNBA champs, taking the fifth and decisive game from the Sparks, 85-76. That's their fourth title in seven seasons, and hockey's back.
Here's Matthews to Marlowe, scores! Holy mackerel, what a play! Patrick Marlowe makes it 4-love.
That's Joe Bowen on Maple Leafs Radio. Marlowe, two goals in his Toronto debut after 19 seasons with San Jose. Those Sharks losing at home to the Flyers 5-3. Connor McDavid, all the offense, and the Oilers 3-0 defeat of the Flames, and the Penguins raised their Stanley Cup banner, then lost to the Blues in overtime 5-4. Guys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. Joining us right now to talk some baseball postseason is Jim Bowden, MLB Network Radio host and former general manager in baseball. Jim, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'm doing great. You can't ask for a better start to the postseason with both those wild card games where, in both cases, there was a lot of drama. In both cases, the best team won.
Yeah, it was very, very exciting, no doubt. But if you had your druthers and you could say, I want a game to go one way or another, would you rather see a 2-1 game, 1-0 game, couple of great pitchers going at it, or what you had last night between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies?
It's a great question. I actually love both. I mean, I'd love to see the Verlander Sale game coming up today ending in a 1-0 game. I would love that, but I got to tell you, as much as I'd love that, I love seeing these, you know, a 12-11 game with the runs seesawing. So yeah, I love both.
Jim, you can't love both, man. You got to pick one. Come on.
No, I can love both. Absolutely, I can.
That's what I say.
What's great about baseball is you have a completely different script every game.
Do you think you can chalk up the amount of runs we've had, especially from these first time starters, Gray last night and Severino the other night for the Yankees, to the pitchers just being too jacked up, too anxious to get out there and trying too hard?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, I don't think everybody always realizes you get an elimination game, there's never more pressure than that. And Luis Severino and John Gray in their entire careers have never pitched in a game like that before in their life. This is their first time. And it's kind of fascinating when you go back and look at the last 12 wild card winners. The pitcher with the most experience won most of those games. I mean, it absolutely. So, yeah, I think the pressure is there at a level that is really hard to describe. And the other thing that's really cool about the wild card games is the fans are mostly the home field fans. We're going to get to the LCS and the World Series, and we're going to have a lot of marketing people. You know, it's going to be, you know, 60% your fans. It's really spread out. But in these games, it's your home fans. So it's loud. There's nothing like it in sports. There's nothing like an elimination game. But as a player, you're a young player and you have that kind of pressure, I don't think there's any question that Severino and Gray both felt it. And where we saw it wasn't velocity. These guys both had their velo, but neither one of them could command or control the baseball in the strike zone. And that, to me, has more to do with nerves or being there for the first time.
If you're Joe Girardi, when do you pitch Luis Severino next, and how nervous are you for that next outing after what you saw the other night?
I actually feel like he'll do better the next time around,
yep.
So I'm really not worried. I mean, you look at his body of work this year, only Corey Kluber and Chris Sale had a better year. I mean, it's unbelievable, the numbers that he put up and the stuff that he has. I can argue that his raw stuff is as good as any pitcher in baseball. That's how good he is. So yeah, I think I'm sure he's embarrassed what happened. The good news is his team picked him up and won anyway. So, yeah, I expect him to come back and pitch a good game. Game three, game four, I don't think it really matters because he's only going to pitch one game in this next series. So I don't think it matters where it fits. I think Joe's got to figure out better home, better road. You know, how's it going to fit better in the series for them?
Tito Francona saying Corey Kluber, game two and possible game five start. What do you think? You think he should go game one?
No, because here is what we know. He can only pitch two games in the series. So let's work backwards. What game do you really want him to pitch? Game five, right? If it comes down to an elimination game and it's two games to two, You want Kluber on the mound, so let's work backwards. Now, I would prefer game 1 and 5 normally for most pitchers. I'll give you an extra day. That's normally what I would pick, but Corey Kluber comes out and says, I want to go on my normal day. I feel like my routine is perfect, and I just want to make sure that I'm on routine. Well, to me, that you answered the question. You're pitching 2 and 5, and we'll figure it out from there. And then I thought the big question was Carrasco game 1 or Bauer game 1. I mean, I probably would have gone with Carrasco game 1, but I understand why he's doing it. If Bauer wins his game, look at the position Cleveland's in. They got their best two pitchers pitching games 2 and 3. Puts them in a really solid position, and they'll have their ace in game 5. So I'm okay with it. My eyebrows went up a little bit, but it was more about Carrasco than it was Bauer.
Gio and Jones, Jim Bowden on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to him on MLB Network Radio and, of course, former general manager in the league. If you're Brian Cashman and you're looking at this team that you built this year, and I know you went out at the deadline and made some deals, but it's sort of the perfect situation for growth for this team because you're running into a team that's won 34 of their last 38. They were in the World Series last year. If you win this series, it's spectacular. But if you don't, you got to be really, really satisfied with the way the year went. Is that what he's thinking in your mind, or is that how you would think if you were in the same position?
Well, if you're in that position, all you're thinking about is winning the World Series right now. And then when the season's over, yeah, you'll rationalize it as you just did. I think Brian Cashman did his best work of his GM career this year. I really do. I mean, I think when you look at the trades he made to get Gregorius and Castro and Hicks, just dominated those trades, lopsided in his favor, all of them. To watch the development of the baby bombers, the Aaron Judge, who's this generation's Babe Ruth already, Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, just phenomenal to watch their development. To bring in veterans to help them win, like Matt Holliday and Todd Frazier. And then most importantly, when he got to July, to be able to make that deal that brought in Canley and Robertson, that got them the wild card. And that gives them a chance at a World Series. Without that trade, we're not having this conversation. He has built one of the best bullpens in baseball. This bullpen is now as good as the Royals was when they won the World Series. So they got a shot against Cleveland. Sure, the Indians on paper are the best team in baseball right now. I get that. I'm going to predict that they get to the World Series. But I got to tell you, the Yankees are good enough to beat the Cleveland Indians because that bullpen can literally shut down any lineup in baseball. So if the Yankees can be tied after 5, they got a real shot at beating Cleveland in this series. And being a short 5-game series, we all know anything can happen, and they have historically. So I love the job Brian Cashman has done, and as you point out, a lot of money coming off the books the next 2 years. If he wants to trade for Giancarlo Stanton, if he wants to, a year from now, try to sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, if he wants to play an Ohtani this offseason, yeah, he's got plenty of money to do it and stay under the luxury tax.
Well, that leads into my next question. If you're there with the Marlins and a new ownership group, Derek Jeter included, what's your first order of biz?
Well, I mean, personally, it's not going to be to trade the outfield. The outfield is Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Ozuna, and Christian Yelich is the best outfield in baseball. There's not an outfield in baseball that has a better OPS than those three guys. They're all young. They're all in their prime. It's a core to build around. If you can figure out a way to build a starting rotation, this team will get to the postseason really quick. It's a better team than people think. They have a great leadoff hitter in D. Gordon, who led the league in stolen bases again. They have a great young catcher in J.T. Realmuto that people don't know. They just don't have any pitching. You build a rotation in Miami in the next 2 years, you can get to the postseason in the next 2 years. That being said, I don't think that's happening. Every indication we're having is that they need to cut payroll. They're going to try to make this team work on the financial books. And if you want to make this team work on the financial books, that means Giancarlo Stanton will be the first order of business, and they'll try to move his contract, sit down with him, figure out what teams he'll approve and waive his no trade for, and try to work the best deals they can. I hope that's not the case, but every indication I have is that's where they're going.
I know the Nationals haven't won a playoff series. I know the Cubs are the defending World Series champions, but I'm still very, very torn about this series and who I like in it. How do you feel about it going into it?
I like the Nationals in this series, if Scherzer's hamstring's okay. Three of their starting pitchers will end up being top 5 Cy Young this year. How many times can you say that? Only elite starting rotations can say that. So Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio, and even Tanner Roark since the All-Star break. They've got the best starting rotation, 1-4, entering the postseason. That's how good they are. The bullpen, after Mike Rizzo made the deals at the end of July, their bullpen led the National League in ERA. Sean Doolittle was reliever of the month in September. He's been lights out. So you got the rotation, you got the bullpen to match up against anybody. And then Bryce Harper's going to be back. And whether he's effective or not remains to be seen. But even if he's not, you still got Murphy, you still got Zimmerman, you still got Rendon. You've got the speed of Trey Turner. You've got ridiculous power up and down the lineup. This Nationals team's a better team than the Chicago Cubs team is. Remember, even though the Cubs are basically the same team we saw last year with Davis replacing Chapman and Jay replacing Fowler, the fact of the matter is the starting pitching isn't what it was a year ago. We don't know about Arrieta's hamstring. We're waiting to see on that. Hendricks certainly has pitched well lately. Lester had a good start Saturday, which was a good sign. But the pitching's just not what it was before. So I like the Nationals in this series. I won't be surprised if it goes to four or five games. I don't think it'll be a quick, easy sweep. But this year, the Nationals have a better team than the Cubs do.
I'm not what I was before either, Jim. So count me in that number. Bo Sox Astros, how does that play out?
I think it's going to be a better series than people think. I think it's going to go five games. I'm going to go Houston here. I think their lineup is deeper. 1-9. Their bottom third of their lineup has the best OPS of any bottom third in the sport. They grind up and down the lineup. Great blend of young players and veteran players. Altuve and Correa can carry you, but you got the veterans like McCann and Reddick that just seem to get it done. I love Verlander, Keuchel at the top of their rotation. If Verlander can beat Sale, Houston's going to win this series, but I think it's going to be really exciting. I think it's a better series than people are giving it credit for. Boston has a team built better for October than the regular season. They can beat you with the speed and their defense. They have a great bullpen. With David Price in the pen, that helps them a lot, I think. He and Addison Reed getting to Kimbrell. The question for the Red Sox, and I'll say it's the same thing with Houston, what's going to happen with Game 3 and Game 4 starters for both teams? Those could be really high-scoring games. So I think it's going to be a really, really fun series between the two. But I'm going to go chalk here. I've got Houston going to be facing Cleveland in the LCS, and I've got Washington facing the Dodgers in the NLCS.
How much did last night's use of the pitchers from the Diamondbacks change your mind about how they were going to be able to handle the Dodgers in this series?
Well, they handled the Dodgers in September. I watched them sweep them. They had a better record against the Dodgers head-to-head. And so, you know, they believe they can beat them, and they can. I love the Diamondbacks lineup. Diamondbacks lineup can beat you. That's the bottom line. If the Dodgers can live up to their record, the key is going to be Darvish and Hill. To tell me how they pitch. If they pitch well, they'll go on. I love, again, Arizona. They can beat them. They can grind. They can score runs. I just wonder, again, is their pitching going to be deep enough to handle the Dodgers? We'll have to wait and see.
Jim, love your work on MLB Network Radio. Listen to you a lot. We appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Bowden, former Major League Baseball general manager, now an analyst. All right, coming up next, we've got someone joining us on the phone who is none too happy with Brian Jones.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
On our Gio and Jones Twitter account yesterday, there was a couple people complaining that Brian blew off a radio show and they were excited to hear him on a particular show, and I didn't think much of it because, quite frankly, I didn't care. But then today we get a call from somebody who says, Brian, you let me down. I was waiting for you to join these guys on KHTK Sports 1140 in the morning, The Drive, with Dave and Katie Christensen, and you weren't there.
What happened to the other guy?
Well, that's Dave. That's him. So
Dave and Katie. There was another guy.
I don't know about the other guy, but Dave joins us right now to give us his side of the story. Dave, good morning. Thanks for joining us. On behalf of the show, I apologize for Brian. What is happening?
Hey, first off, good morning, Gio. It's an honor to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No, I'm just here prepping the show. We go on at 6, and Listen, we have Brian on a couple times, and he's always great. And you know how it is. You're 35. I heard you mention this earlier. You've been around. When affiliates listen to national shows, usually it's mostly the host thinking about how they could do a better job than the national guys.
Sure.
We're actually really big fans of you, and we will oftentimes quote the show, reference the show, et cetera. So we have a great relationship with Brian, who comes on occasionally, and he was going to come on, Tuesday, I think, at 7. Nothing. Didn't know what happened. That's fine. And then yesterday at 7, you know, we pre-promoted. He was coming on right after Dan Fouts. It's going to be awesome. Nothing. So we asked him a couple questions and played cricket sounds. And then it actually gave way to a really good conversation about shopping cart etiquette in stores and how to not block the lane while you're getting something out of the frozen food section. So it ended up okay, but, you know, I know we're just a tiny affiliate out here, but we care. And, you know, our fans were a little sad. That's all. No biggie.
So who did you, I guess, schedule this interview with? It wasn't through Brian directly, was it?
No, we don't get his phone number. No, we
You want it? I can give it to you. It's 5-1. Oh, hold on.
I don't know, it was CBSPR through one of our producers. I don't. It's never. There's never been a problem before. But now all of a sudden this week, we just don't know if we pissed him off or something.
Dave?
You know, I don't, yeah?
Is it not an honor to speak to me anymore?
Oh, no, you're cool.
Oh, well, your salutations, you didn't say a damn thing about me. I'm sitting right here.
Well.
I love how you open with, where's the other guy? But CBS, guys, the other guy, that was a budget cut. Said, Brian, don't worry about me, bro. I mean, we've got the man code. The one you need to worry about is Katie, who is really pissed.
There is no distance between. There's no space between me and Katie. Our relationship is solid as a rock. Always has been.
Well, I don't know about that, Brian. I don't know.
Katie!
I need a written apology. Like, I'm a woman and my feelings get hurt really bad.
I am not Cam Newton, Katie!
Hey,
damn close.
You know what Brian told me on the phone yesterday? He said he kind of laughs when women talk about radio.
Yeah. He did. I've heard that.
What the hell she talk about? How she get mic?
Well, hey, I just won't talk routes with you, okay, Brian?
We talk everything here, girl. Yeah. Listen, I have no idea what happened, and you just said it, Dave. CBS PR on the TV side set all that up, and they screwed up Tuesday because we're sitting here, and I see the Joe Rose show down in Miami tweeting about me coming up today. No, I'm not. And I had to call CBS or text them, the person in charge, say, why are they saying I'm coming on the show on a Tuesday when I'm not scheduled to come on till tomorrow? And so they called me yesterday. We do the whole radio tour, and it was from 9:30 to 10:30, and I was done. So I don't know what happened there.
Oh. Okay.
You're not buying that, Dave?
It was just a long, convoluted answer. I think it bored everybody. So how are you going to
shut up? Convoluted. And then a Monday, and then a Tuesday, and then they called, and then all right, enough.
So how are you going to how are you going to fix it?
We're fixing it right now. Ask me a question.
No.
What do you want to know?
You got to give them a full segment on their show.
Oh, they're taping this. This is going to be a full segment. Yeah. What do you want to know, Dave, Katie?
I honestly think the best way to fix this with you, whether advertently or inadvertently flaking out on our show for 2 days, is for us to do a mildly entertaining segment on your show for the last 10 minutes.
Boom. There you go. All right. Now, I think about you guys all the time. We always have big fun. And I was actually watching HGTV a couple weeks ago, and they were doing some house hunting in Sacramento. So I thought about you guys are outside of Sacramento. There's some dude won the lottery. They have that show, the lottery winners, and they help them find a new home with all their winnings. And I was thinking about you. Does that help?
We love you. You know that. And honestly, if you want a quick solution, we can do this right now on the air.
Come on.
I think the easiest solution, Gio, what are you doing next Tuesday at 7?
you don't want me on.
not next Tuesday anyway.
You don't want me on.
We can talk about bad gambling beats and not working out.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you don't want to have me on. Because that sounds like my wheelhouse right there. Well, I appreciate all the kind words, and it's very, very nice of you to say. And you're right. There are a lot of people who can't stand the national radio show guys that come on before their show. And it's very, very nice to hear that stuff. And anytime you need either one of us, we will gladly pick up the phone and join your program.
Always.
I promise you that.
You see that, guys, with all the talk of radio news and this and that, and mergers and business, you know what? It's nice when a huge national flagship show and a tiny little syndicate can reach out to each other through the magic of airwaves and make peace. I feel good now. I'm going to go do my show.
You feel whole again?
Well, feel half again. I mean, my teeth still work.
Katie, you okay?
I'm good, but hey, Brian, my last day is tomorrow. I'm just going to be focusing on the Kings reporting. So
Oh, I'm going to miss you. No. That's why I'm so sad. Oh, damn.
It was farewell week, and you blew it off.
I did not blow it off. My convoluted answer told you what happened.
I don't believe it.
She made you a cake and everything, but now you know what? The next time when you flake out in 3 weeks, you can say, what happened to the other girl?
Dave, that is amazing.
They make different cakes up there, too.
Oh,
in California.
Oh, yeah, with the weed.
Yeah, they make good cakes.
Yeah, okay. All right, guys.
Katie, congrats, I think.
Thank you. Hey, I won't be getting up at 4 in the morning, so that is something to congratulate.
Girl, good for you. And Dave, so it's just going to be you solo?
I'm like the DeMarcus Cousins of sports radio. I can't work with him.
You can't coexist.
Co-host killer. Oh, no. All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
All the best, and be in touch, all right?
All right, fellas. Take care.
All right. There goes Dave
they
and
are
Katie
great. They
from
are great,
the
man.
Drive on KHTK Sports 1140.
I love going on that show. We have so much fun.
Well, they sound great. And really, it's a mutual respect there because I know you tell me about them all the time when you get the radio tours that you actually do through CBS Sports Radio.
Mikey B will tell you when we do those radio tours, I make sure and see that Sacramento's on. They're always there.
I thought he was joking. He still might have been about the it's an honor thing. They were just doing that to take a
stab
at you.
No, they love our show.
But I guess he really was being that nice. I was laughing because I thought he was just taking it.
Every time we go on there, they talk about how much they enjoy this show, the lead into their show there locally. Yes.
And
we leave an impression, man.
Yeah.
Well, like that rash.
At least somewhere. Like a rash?
We're like a rash. Good rash. The good kind. The kind you want to scratch.
How is there a good
rash?
Yeah,
feel good when you scratch.
No one's ever had a good rash.
Yeah, sure you have.
Someone show up to a doctor and be like, ah, it's a good rash.
It's a good one. Just keep scratching it. Feel good, doesn't it? Oh, yeah.
I love that poison sumac.
Sumac?
Sumac, whatever it is.
Poison Suma.
Yeah. I'm rubbing off on him too, right?
Yeah. I guess so.
Whew.
We'll call him up today, man.
I should. Mike, if you give me a no.
Katie's last day.
Damn, Katie. Always leaving me.
Katie Christensen on the drive.
Yeah, on the drive. She don't have to get up at 4 anymore.
Dave's just like, I can't imagine that. Dave had two co-hosts. Now it's just him.
Just him.
In a morning show.
Maybe he's a rash.
No, it sounded like they got along.
Maybe
I don't know him from a
problem.
Hole in the wall, but it sounded like they were getting along.
Sounds
I think. That's got to stink for him.
So
morning shows are not supposed to be done by one person. It's
no.
supposed to be like a team on
yeah.
a morning show.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a team. Wish I had some team members.
Yeah.
Hard to find.
No, we're a great team here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We are a phenomenal team. Bogish and Mikey B and Pete.
I agree.
It's a great team.
All for one. One for all. Team that can't be beat. Won't be beat.
Right. Why are you...
Yeah.
Why are you trying to, like...
Huh?
Minimize our team atmosphere here.
I'm just, yeah.
Weirdo.
So? I know I am. What are you?
Lethargic, overweight, depressed, hungry all the time.
You hang in there, Johnny.
All right.
You're good enough.
Hey, thanks to Jim Bowden, Dave and Katie from Sports 1140. Mikey B, PDB, and Bogus Jock Alone. Talk tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.